from Psalms 112. Hallelujah, blessed man, blessed woman who fear God, who cherish and relish his commandments. Their children robust on the earth, and the homes of the upright, how blessed. Their houses brim with wealth and a generosity that never runs dry. Sunrise breaks through the darkness for good people. God's grace and mercy and justice. The good person is generous and lends lavishly. No shuffling or stumbling around for this one, but a sterling and solid and lasting reputation. Unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies, their lavish gift on the poor. A generosity that goes on and on and on. An honored life. A beautiful life. Someone wicked takes one look and rages, blusters away, but ends up speechless. There's nothing to the dreams of the wicked. Nothing. And from Galatians 6, verses 1 through 10. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day's out. Stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed. Share their burdens, and so complete Christ's law. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself with others. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. Be very sure now, you who have been trained to a self-sufficient maturity, that you enter into a generous common life with those who have trained you, sharing all the good things that you have and experience. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. All he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work for him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. So let's not allow ourselves to be fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people closest to us in this community of faith. That ends the reading for the day.
Once again, we are in the midst of the hurricane season. Hurricane Danielle is far from reaching the Florida coast, and Earl is likely to avoid the U.S. Atlantic coastline. But both storms are threatening beaches with strong rip currents. So whether we enjoy doing so or not, most of us track every storm with potential to come our way. So the question before us is, how do you really prepare for something that threatens you, but at the same time something that you have no control over. Well, someone gave me very good advice in this regard. He said, step one, buy enough supplies to last your family for at least 3 days. Step two, put these supplies into your car. And step three, drive to Nebraska and remain there until Halloween. Most, if not all of us, can tell about times when it was simply unavoidable, when it was necessary to put our lives and our plans on hold, while we were forced to think about plywood, generators, and chainsaws. How do you, in this world of ours, live your dreams and continue to follow rainbows of hope while reality brings hurricanes and so many other challenges directly onto your path? Now, Viktor Frankl, a famous psychologist, someone who survived the Holocaust at a time when he was imprisoned, stripped, beaten, starved, and deprived in every way possible in Hitler's death camps. That's his background. And afterwards, many people asked him, how come, Frankl? How come that you survived, and yet you became so famous afterwards? And then he shared his secret of survival. He said, you know what? During the Second World War, there was only one thing that they could not take away from me, and that was my ability to choose how I would respond to my situation. So this really calls for better understanding. How could someone at the bottom end of sorrow not only survive, but grow and become one of the famous names in the world? Well, for example, I heard about a well-meaning woman, and she was talking to a handicapped student, and he was knocking on her door trying to sell her some magazine subscriptions. And she looked him over, signed up for a subscription, and said, My young man, such a handicap must have changed and colored your life since the day of your birth. On which the young man brightly responded, oh, it certainly has, but thank God I could choose. I could decide what that color would be. And we all know persons like this brave young man. Oh, I've met so many radiant individuals in my life, and I'm sure that you have as well. People who, just by being in their company, bring a new perspective of hope and life into a very difficult situation. Now, can we say that's the way people are born, to be like that? You get the bright ones and you get the less bright ones? Oh, no, I don't think so. They're not born that way. Along the road, they chose. They made a decision. They made a choice to become that way. The moment when they realized that one thing cannot be taken away from them, they could pick their own attitudes in life, no matter what. Now, attitude surely has a lot to do with it. The thoughts that you and I choose to think are the tools that we use to paint the canvas of our personal lives. The colors we choose to paint the pictures of our lives determine whether we will be a victim or a victor. The colors you and I choose will determine whether we will quit when the first roadblock and detour of life comes upon us, or whether we will have the courage and the commitment to go the extra mile and distance to finally reach our destination in life. What will grab our attention and help us focus our life's direction? That's a question that we can deal with for a few minutes in this sanctuary this morning. How can we turn our nightmares into dreams? Well, then I have a personal question. How are you responding? How are you responding when these things, these bad things happen to you? And how are you allowing circumstances that you bow under, how are you allowing them to color your life? Because that's the only thing you have left to choose, is the color of your life. Did you know that the only difference between a pitch black piece of coal and a diamond is pressure and heat, nothing else? I need to say that again. The only difference between a piece of coal and a diamond is pressure and heat, nothing else. How do we handle the pressures of life, and how do we allow them to color our lives? Let's be honest with ourselves, and let's, you don't have to say it out loud, but let's find that answer for ourselves this morning, God willing. One thing that strikes me every time, I love to live back in biblical times, because so many of the handbooks that I'm working with and lived with for so many years give vivid pictures of the times of Christ, biblical times. And you know, we have that feeling, maybe I often had it, that long ago people didn't have all these things that we have to cope with in this fast-moving, difficult society. Friend, I've got news for you. They had difficulties at least as huge as ours, in far worse circumstances than we're living under. And if you track the history of the Galatians, because we read from the Galatians this morning, the apostle originally wrote to this small early Christian community in the Roman province of Galatia in central Anatolia. So these are names that historians know, but most of us have never even heard them. But that is where that small little congregation lived, sweat, cried, and finally disappeared. And his advice to them was to respond creatively to pressures and to color their lives with rainbows of hope. And that's what Linda read so beautifully for us this morning. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good, because at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. And that's the difference that faith makes. Most of us have lived our lives amongst the faithful, simultaneously amongst those who couldn't care less. We know where we draw our strength from, and we often see with sadness the lack of direction with many who always thought of faith, personal faith, as something scary, something for the holier-than-thou people with little invisible halos, talking about things and usually telling us about to hell and damnation. And they made choices early in their life to simply move away from that. And we stand branded unless we open and speak the way that God's Spirit is dictating to us. That's the difference that our faith makes. We can cope with the changing circumstances of life because our faith is rooted on the belief that we're standing on a rock. We sing about this rock as the rock of ages. And at times, let's face it, even while we're standing on that rock, we find that we are trembling on that rock. But one thing is for sure. The foundation is solid. We are standing on the rock of ages. And we shall not fear. We will never tremble when we're aware of standing on that firm rock, even when we face our final hour. And God knows, I've stood by the bedside, and Dr. Sponsler in the back, he stood by the bedside of so many people that we all knew and loved. And I can tell you, many of them, their deathbed is glorious. It's beautiful. It's joyful. And amidst the pain, you see that shining rainbow, because they chose the rock on which they stood. It brings us to the normal question, now how do you and I in our times respond to the roadblocks in our lives? Well, I can tell you that some people do go around and they darken the sun in other people's lives with their tales of doom and gloom. And while they're doing that, I often think, well, this is not doing you any good. It's not making you more positive. And definitely you're not brightening the day of other fellow sufferers surrounding you today. They fail to understand that just a little bit of sugar makes the medicine go down. We have the sugar of our faith. By keeping the dream alive, America is still changing for the better. Dreams of those who came before us can be the most powerful and pervasive force at work in the United States of America and in other nations across the world. Dreams of freedom and religious liberties propelled countless persons to move across oceans and unknown lands. And as long as the dream was kept alive, so were the people who pursued them. We lived through that. I was 3 weeks in this nation. I was walking with one of the first Christian friends I met in America in New York streets. When he told me, did you hear that the Challenger blew up? Brand new, I couldn't even speak English. And that was one of the first tidings that I was told about on a busy street in New York. First the Challenger, then the Columbia. and many of you are so much part of it. Somehow, in the darkness, the dream was kept alive. NASA went back to the drawing board with hope and with vision. We will fly again. Never underestimate the power of visions and dreams. Mother Teresa was such a dreamer. Her dreams and her visions made her the leading spokesperson for the cause of the helpless, the hopeless, and homeless in the world. And her dreams were the fuel that kept the flames of her witness alive. Do you have an idea? Have a dream? Let's say this was like school was in the olden days. Sometimes you were just called and say, come on, stand up and say this. Usually the teacher checking whether you did your homework or not, or something like that. Stand up and speak. Tell me about it. Let's say you were one in that old-fashioned schools, and the teacher said, young kid, tell me about your hopes and your dreams. Where are you going from here? And this is an ageless question. This is a question that can we ask to the 80-year-old and the 90-year-old and the 100-year-old. What are your hopes and dreams? How do you want to spend your remaining days? What message have you left for those who love you so dearly? Something like that took place in this beloved church of ours. Even during times of economic downturn, social change, and challenges to our Christian faith, a group of people got together from this church and decided to remain dedicated, not to the past, but to the future of this church. We recalled those who planted this little church here. We read the history, and we knew that this site is a special site. It cannot be more strategically placed. We're at the heart of Cocoa Beach. We are the community church. And sometimes I think we are the best-kept secret in Cocoa Beach. We need to do something about it. But we decided on our Kavadis dream. We decided to seek the will of God and to follow Christ. That is the story of Kavadis. Where are you heading, Master? We want to follow. The Bible is unequivocally clear and challenges us to move from tracking hurricanes to following rainbows. And the Bible says, if you and I strive above all for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, our Heavenly Father will provide for all the other necessities as well. So says the Bible. It is so. You and I sometimes look at dark clouds out there thinking of the future of this church. Fear not. Fear not. The Bible says, seek the kingdom of God, God's righteousness. God will take care of you. I fear not. You don't fear either. And Kavadis guides us into the vision that this church should grow and remain an oasis of hope and spiritual life for generations to come, not only for our own generation. Rainbow followers in our church are working on new strategies and plans to retain and to broaden the foothold that our church holds in this strategic part of the Space Coast. what many consider impossible will happen when the people of God in this place follow the rainbow of faith. Our challenge is around us. What is your personal dream for your church? Because yeah, we can talk about visions and dreams that the church has, but it's somewhere up in the air. It is only when that vision becomes part of my thinking and my dreaming and my doing and your thinking and your dreaming and your doing. It's only when people reach out and say, what would God have us do? How should we move? Where should we go? But in closing, it's not only the rainbow of your faith for your church. What is your personal view? What is your personal rainbow of faith? Your unshakable faith will teach and will enable you to deal creatively with every challenge that the future holds. Faith, listen to this. Faith makes it possible to accept that which we cannot change. Faith makes it possible to meet even disappointments and sorrow with an inner poise. Makes it possible, as many of you are doing, to absorb the most intense personal pain without ever, ever abandoning your hope. Scripture says, let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good at the right time. Promises God, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. The classic movie says it so beautiful. Climb every mountain, search high and low, follow every byway, every path you know. A dream that will need all the love you can give every day of your life for as long as you live. Climb every mountain, ford every stream, follow every rainbow, till you find your dream. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Loving God, each day you make of us a new creation. Through the Holy Spirit you've planted your words of wisdom, your promise of hope, and the assurance that we can wipe the dust from our feet and always begin anew. When we are weak or discouraged, you give us faith, courage, and patience to keep on going. We bring our prayers before you, knowing that you already hear the unspoken prayers of our hearts. We pray for those who face illness and hospitalization. We pray for those undergoing medical treatments with an uncertain outcome. Oh, grant them and their loved ones the peace and assurance of your presence in all the difficult times of life. Move us by your Spirit so that the fruit of our harvest will be love and compassion toward all. Loving God, you sent us out as laborers for the harvest. We've heard your call and we want to respond where needed, proclaiming the good news of your grace. Give us your peace, which passes all understanding. This is our prayer on this Sunday morning with thanksgiving, for it is in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.